It says nothing about Zebedee other than they left him in the boat with the hired servants and went to follow Jesus. Now this is their dad. They left dad in the boat with the servants. And my natural mind is like, well, what did he do? I mean, was he like the penguins in Madagascar? Just smile and wave, boys, smile and wave. Bye! What does Zebedee do? It's his business. Did he jump up, you know, and say, wait a minute, boy, where are you going? We got work to do. There's a business I'm running here. Who do you think you are? Where do you think you're going? That's what I would put in there. I guess honestly, like, you know, and then, you know, James and John would have said something really spiritual, and then he'd have been like humbled and stuff. But they up and went, and he just smiles and waves, you know. But as I studied this, as I went before the Lord and said, God, okay, show me, teach me, you know. And he unfolded this and unpackaged the truth that is contained inside of here. It frankly blew me away. It is so beautiful. It is so amazing. And in the process, I discovered that, yes, we have a very gracious God who frequently, often, calls his people from the familiar into the unfamiliar, from that place of comfort and security into a place where they must lean on him and trust him completely in order to find their way. He frequently calls us from our home onto a journey, from our place of familiarity into the place of the unknown, where we have to say, God, unless you lead me, I'm lost. I know I don't find my way. He frequently does that. But, everybody say, but. Say it like you mean it. But, thank you. Before he does that, he also carries them through a time of preparation, a time of heart conditioning, where he allows our hearts to ripen to what he's doing and so mature and so marinate and so prepare for his work that when he says, finally, follow me, that nothing will stop us from getting up and going. Because when God moves, he often does so. I love this word. Roy loves this word. Suddenly. To the world, it seems like it's suddenly because the things just seem like they're all the same. And then, bam, God moves. But what the world doesn't see is that for his people, God's the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. For his people, he is putting them through a time of preparation and ripening and marination, getting their hearts conditioned and ready. So when it finally comes time for him to say, follow me, they couldn't imagine doing anything else but following him. The way, I mean, Gene, just the way you're shaking your head as anointed girl, man, I can feel the fire. Woo! Yes, ma'am. This better be good. So come back next week. Just like Moses led Israel out of Egypt, they left suddenly. But before they followed this man that they really, some stranger comes walking out of the desert and says, let's go out into the desert and worship God. And, you know, while they're standing there with soldiers and swords over top of them and arrows pointed at them, slaving away to build the empire of Egypt, and they were like, sure, okay, I really didn't like his job anyway. Yeah, right. In order to prepare them to follow Moses out in the desert, God had to bring them through a time of preparation. So he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and when God says, let my people go, Pharaoh said no. And he said no 10 times, which allowed God to demonstrate the glory and awesomeness of his power through the 10 plagues. By the time God got done with Egypt, man, Moses said, okay, we're going. Israel's like, take us to the wilderness, brother. Man, I'm ready. It's a shame they were a little bit short in terms of their memory. They could have remembered, but praise God. That's what God does, and we can get clues about how God did that here by looking at the life of Peter. We're going to look at the call of Peter specifically, when Christ called Peter, how God ripened and prepared Peter's heart. And hopefully you can lay a hold of what we're going to look at in Peter's life, because I believe that many of you may be in Peter's place or have thought about it. Maybe you're in a place in your life where God is taking in the process of taking you through a huge transition. You are going from the familiar to the unfamiliar, from what you've known and held and loved dear for years to a place where you're like, wow, I believe this is God, but it better be God. Because so much is at stake. Your heart is at stake. Maybe God is calling you. I know as a church, God is calling us from the familiar into the unfamiliar. Maybe you're not in that place of transition, but you've wondered about it. You've heard stories of people who left everything behind to go on the mission field, to go to Zimbabwe or Indonesia or something. And frankly, inside, when you maybe a friend of yours went to go on not like short-term missions, but like goodbye, farewell, I'll see you in 10 years kind of a mission trip. And you're wondering, how do they find the faith to do that? If God were to ever call me, I don't think I could do it. And that worries you because you don't know where you would find the strength to say goodbye to a life that you've held dear and are familiar with, to go into the unknown and give yourself completely with abandon to God. And you see your friends do it, and you see missionaries you know do this, and you think, how do they do that? God, please don't call me, because I don't think I would be able to have that much faith. I don't know if I could obey and just up and go like they did. Where in the world will I get that? How could I possibly do that? I think you'll find it here. And maybe, I don't know, you know, if you've ever been really wondering about giving your life completely to Jesus Christ and putting your faith in Him, because it's all around you, but you've never really taken that step. And you're wondering, if I do that, will I be okay? I think you'll find your answer here. So how did God call Peter? Well, I'll tell you what. The first thing God did was He provided for Peter a credible testimony. He let Peter hear somebody else's account first. He gave Peter, number one, it's going to be 4 items here. Number one, He gave him a credible testimony. Someone that Peter respected, admired, and put a lot of weight in testified to Peter about what God was doing. Okay? John chapter 1, verses 32 to 40. Let me ask you a question. How many people here realize that Simon Peter was actually, before he was a disciple of Christ, he was a disciple of John the Baptist? How many people knew that? Okay? Interesting. John 1:32, talking about John the Baptist. And John bore witness saying, John the Baptist talking about Jesus. John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained on Him, on Jesus. I did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, this is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And He goes on in verse 35. It says, again, the next day, John stood with 2 of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as He walked by, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The 2 disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to Him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher. Where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where He was staying and remained with Him that day. They came and saw where He was staying and remained with Him that day. Now, it was about the 10th hour. Okay, a little pop quiz. What did John the Baptist call Jesus? Son of God. Anything else? Lamb of God. He saw it, man. He saw it. He knew. What did Peter call Jesus? Rabbi. What else did he call him? Or what is that translated as? Teacher. All right. Yeah, no big commitment here. You know, it's just like, you know, Son of God, Lamb of God. Okay. Teacher. So Peter wasn't quite convinced at that point. He was open to it. He was hungry for it. You know he's hungry because he's already following John the Baptist. Something inside of Peter says, I've got to get a hold of this thing that is crying out inside of me. This thing that I know I was made for. This thing inside of me that is incomplete and must be fulfilled. And until I do, I will find no rest for my soul. So Peter was hungry. He was seeking. He was searching. He was trying to lay a hold. And he was following John the Baptist. And obviously he put great weight upon the words of the Baptist. And John the Baptist, the one very one Peter looks up to, said, hey guys, look, there he is. That's him, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And Peter's like, I've done this once. I don't want to have to do this again. Okay, Rabbi, where are you staying? Jesus says, come on, follow me. So God provided a credible testimony. You know, we've been seeking revival with all of our heart for over a year now. And that's a dangerous thing to go looking for because you just might get it. Oh, yes. When we realized what it was we were crying out for, we started scratching our heads going, wow, what if God really does send this, man? This could rock the boat a little bit. This could rock our world a little bit.